All right, it's another Monday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Monday night, and we are, as always, taking your phone calls at 812-333-2665. It is an exciting week here in Bloomington as my daughter finally gets to go back to school next week.
There you go.
So we get orientation tomorrow night, and thank God for that. She needs to get back to school and learn something. But more exciting for most of the folks around here is that we've got Ohio State coming to town on Thursday for the IU Hoosiers, and along with it is everybody at ESPN is moving into town, and hotel rooms are going for $1,200 a night and that kind of thing, and everything's crazy. But it's going to be an exciting week. A Thursday night game, of course, here. Game day in town, and they're blowing it out using several of the ESPN channels to show you different views. And there's going to be a coach's room, and there's going to be the mega cast, and all that stuff going on, all kinds of celebrities in town. It's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of excitement for the Hoosiers and for all the fans around. And, of course, we've got Colts football, and they're still in camp. Also had their third preseason game over the weekend. So we'll preview a little bit of IU tonight, and mostly Colts tonight, and we'll preview a lot more of the IU game on Wednesday night. 812-333-2665 is our phone number. And, Glass, the Colts finally won. Now, preseason doesn't matter quite so much, but feels nice to at least come out and have played well.
Right.
And not stunk the joint up.
Yeah, and if you stink the joint up, that's what you did. And if you played well, that's what you did. So to the victor goes the spoils. And the Colts deserved it. They did play better. They looked better. It looked like their offense had some rhythm finally. Both quarterbacks looked very competent, comfortable. They had some good defensive plays when necessary. Made some more big plays on defense. I don't think their defense is where they want to be yet. But you're right. It's trending in the right direction. And week three of the preseason, if you're getting worse, that would bother me as a Colts fan. You have done something tangible to get better. And if you don't like the direction the Colts are going, if you don't like the new general manager, if you don't like the head coach, if you don't like the acquisitions, you're going to say, well, it's no big deal because Roethlisberger only played this much and that. Well, that's fine. Go ahead. Be angry. Go ahead. You're allowed to. It's America. It's a great thing. But the fact of the matter is the Colts played better. They looked better.
They
physically were better. And that's something that you can't take away from them. Do they have some extra guys back? Sure. Did they miss some guys? Sure. That's what preseason all about. And you saw guys playing for jobs. We talked about that last week, that some positions were up for grabs. And you could see by the waiver wire today what they're happy with and perhaps what they're not happy with. So you get a little bit of this, a little bit of that. But the one noticeable knock on the Colts after the first two preseason games is simple. Their offense, number one, couldn't move the ball.
Yeah.
Their number one offense, number one,
yeah,
couldn't move the ball. Well, that was not the case at all against Pittsburgh. They found room to run. Gore had some good carries, some good touches. Marlon Mack. You saw Dante Moncrief, the second or third play of the game, go for 55 yards. He's back, finally. He's healthy. That's something we can talk about.
That's
positive. That's exactly right. Philip Dorsett made catches, was involved in the offense, and he had two quarterbacks that moved the football in the first half and most of the second half. So that, I think, are the positives from the offensive side of the ball that you saw. The defense, again, gashed early. But what do? They make a big play again. They get a sack. They get a fumble. Pick it up. That's good. And they made plays. They weren't great. But, again, you have to be better, and they were. Look at the total points in this game. They didn't allow a lot of touchdowns.
Yep.
That's positive. Sure, a lot of it was against Landry Jones, but a lot of these other games were against other backups that gashed them wide open for yards.
Exactly,
so
right, yeah.
So it is different. It is better. They had some more familiar faces playing as well, guys that aren't injured or at least starting to come back. But they still have questions at offensive line. They still have questions maybe in the linebacker crew. They still have questions. Who's going to be that third maybe receiver? Chester Rogers is hurt. Quan Bray was back. So you've got, again, it just never seems like there's a full deck of cards to play with.
Yeah.
And what it is what it is. And you have to figure it out. Chuck Pagano said today, we got to go with the guys that are here in our practice, and we can't do anything else about it. That's what it is. And
at least in the NFL, if you say next man up, I mean, there's legitimacy behind that. I mean, you're not always going to have Antonio Brown backing up Antonio Brown.
Yeah, but you're not talking about a walk-on who showed up with your team 2 or 3 weeks ago. These guys have been pros, and they've been to it. So that was the good news, the way the Colts started, the way the Colts were positive, the way the Colts just simply got first downs. It was nice to see the football get moved. That probably helped the defense since they weren't on the field the entire first quarter or the first half. And what does it mean? Well, it means you're better than you were against Dallas in Dallas. And playing against Pittsburgh, that's never an easy team to line up against. And the Colts, I think, did a pretty good job there. So Whew. That's my reaction to the game. Yep. It's not going further downhill. The rot has stopped. They have figured out something to get better. I was reading today through the Indy media guys that are around this every day. Colts did a little bit more game planning for this. I don't know exactly what that means. Why wouldn't you have game planned last week or the week before?
Well, what happens is you work on your stuff, and so you don't get too crazy into having to throw in a bunch of different looks in order to block what Dallas does. You know, you're going to attack every game that way, but in the preseason, it doesn't matter as much. You're working on your stuff, so there can be legitimate behind that, and that's why you don't go too crazy about the preseason, because you just don't know. I mean, it's kind of like the scrimmages that the high schools have a couple weeks ago when South went up to Lawrence Central and North went up to Avon. I mean, you're not practicing all week long on what your opposition is going to do. You're practicing on you,
and you have
get
somebody
you
else
right
defending
make sure
it.
Yeah, exactly, so you know what you're doing. So, yeah, look, to me, you look at this and you see, were there some rushes that helped? Yes, it wasn't a particularly great rushing game generated. It's 25 carries and 69 yards. It's not what you want long term, but you know, you got to get a little bit at a time. What I liked is the efficiency of the quarterbacks. It was mostly Stephen Morris and Scott Tolzien. Tolzien looked better, and again, efficiency, and that's what I want out of the situation.
Well, and part of that efficiency came from the line blocked better.
One sack given up on in total,
and that was it. And I don't remember when that was, and I just watched the game.
Yeah, Stephen Morris. So
okay, so that was either second quarter or beyond, but it was interesting to see. In the first half, they went with Denzel Good at right guard and Vuji at right tackle, because that's what I'm calling him, because I can't pronounce his last name. The left side of the line, you had Haig and Costanzo, and then you had, obviously, the free agent kid at center. Schwenke was not back, and if he's back, they're not going to put him in the game because he's the only center
right
now. So what does that mean? It means LaRaven Clark didn't play until the second half again.
And I saw him at left tackle, too, when
he
got in there, too.
And that's when he came in, so maybe he's the new backup on that side. Clark did get in on the first touchdown series. They went jumbo, and he was the second right tackle next to Vuji, and that's where they ran Gore behind for the opening touchdown. So he was involved. They say he's a great athlete. That's the thing.
Yeah.
He's kind of like the T.J. Green of the offensive line. He can do a lot of things. He just doesn't do them very consistently.
Yeah, I mean, Texas Tech's got a funky offense and doesn't exactly –
and they're moving all the time.
Yeah, it doesn't exactly translate in a lot of spots.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, that's a little different, no question.
But, again, year two, I don't know if you give up on a third-round pick just because he's being beaten out by a free agent.
You don't give up on him as long as he's doing the work.
Yep.
If he's a little behind, if he needs some development, you're a little disappointed. Maybe you still have to do it, but you don't just toss him to the side. If you think he's got the potential. And certainly in both those cases, they think the guy's got the potential, because in the last game, they threw LaRaven Clark in at left guard with the first unit at one point. They took Muhort out and put him in at left guard. So, I mean, that was the way they moved things around. So they're trying to get him in there and keep him involved, you know, in a significant way.
But they have to, because Muhort can't stay healthy.
Right.
You have problems at center.
Kelly's obviously gone.
They showed in the pregames when Fish and Venturi were getting everybody ready that a camera on the offensive line, Haig was snapping the ball in some of those drills to get loose. So they're trying to keep some pieces together. The one guy that's probably just the anchor of it, and he's going to be, is Costanzo.
Yeah.
And he's been there. He's in shape. He's fit. That's the good news. He's getting paid a ton of money to play left tackle. He should in the NFL.
Yep.
And he's not the issue. So the Colts did find some holes and some creases for Gore to run through. He found some holes and creases for Mack to run through. The passing game looked like it had some rhythm. You had guys making catches. Philip Dorsett was one of them. We know he's had the drops.
Yep.
For
60.
For the last couple of years. And two of those were not easy plays at all. One was down the sideline over his shoulder, and one was Stephen Morris got hit when he threw it, and Dorsett had to come back to it. He was going to get hit when he caught it. Made a really nice play there. So there are some positives to take away from the Colts, and I think some of those, too, came on defense. As Pittsburgh just did not run the ball down their throat, they at least made some stops. They at least got off the field, and you didn't see a ton of penalties either, hurting the Colts too much on game number three of the preseason.
Yeah, and they did get three sacks for 21 yards.
Fumble was the big one.
Yeah, one against all three of the quarterbacks, each of the three quarterbacks. And like you said, 22 carries, 108 yards. I mean, that's a decent game for Pittsburgh, but it wasn't running down your throat, as you said. So that's the important thing for the Colts, maybe build a little bit of confidence, but it has been switching around a lot of players at a lot of positions. That's been the difficult part.
And pretty it's not going to stop.
Pretty much defensive line and linebackers are kind of the only spot where you've had most of the guys healthy most of the time. I mean, you could name Jonathan Hankins, and you had Bostic
Simon.
Antonio Morrison was out of game, but you know, largely you've had most of those bodies. What you talked about earlier at the very beginning, though, was, you know, the roster moves they're starting to make. And what they're starting to do right now is they're starting to have to bring in a lot of defensive backs. A couple corners have already been released because of injuries. Vontae Davis has a groin injury now, and they're going to have to evaluate that. And so there's a possibility there maybe of games. And at safety, they brought in two safeties today. They traded their backup long snapper for a safety for the Jets. And they brought in another free agent safety. And these are veterans, guys who've been around a couple years, you know, not names that you're going to know right off the top of your head. But they're clearly trying to answer some questions and bring in some extra bodies for competition and see what they got there. Don't love what they have, and they know that they're also very injured at those spots. T.J. Green got a lot of time at corner. But, you know, you saw Rashawn Melvin. You saw the two new guys that they brought in earlier in the week.
Wilson
Chris Culver
play.
Was in there. Yeah, so they're trying to answer some questions at that defensive backfield position.
And they've got plenty of them because they're hurt. I don't think Hooker played. I don't think Wilson played. I don't think Robert Turbin at running back played one down. He's been banged
Josh
up.
Josh Ferguson got 11 carries and a
all
reception.
He did. He scored the final touchdown, too. Nice little juke in the hole, which was fine against Pittsburgh's third defense. But, again, the key is Turbin's hurt. He's been in and out of practice all camp. He plays hard when he plays. But, again, if he's not ready to go, Ferguson has to step up to it. The Colts also made a big special teams change, two of them.
Yeah.
Number one, their long snapper is no longer there. I don't know if he was the guy that had
Matt Overton they let go
He plays for Jacksonville now, right?
So your two questions were Luke Rhodes, who was a linebacker number 46. You've seen a lot of time from him there in the preseason. They are keeping him, and they traded their other long snapper is Thomas Hennessy, and they brought in a safety. They traded him to the Jets and got Ronald Martin, who's a young safety from the Jets, and then they signed Earl Wolf the fourth.
Not to be confused.
We're going to have to shorten that somehow. Yeah, exactly. But a pair of safeties. And again, earlier in the week, last week, they brought in a couple corners because of injuries at that spot too. So it's getting a little concerning back there. We already know Clayton Gathers is out for a while.
He is, and once he gets transferred to the PUP, he's out the first six games of the season, so that's how that's going to be. And the other port is Chris Ballard's first signing. Punter Jeff Locke of the Minnesota Vikings was cut today. The Colts eat $1.25 million there because he couldn't make it to the fourth preseason game. He was beaten out by an undrafted rookie from Hawaii, or an undrafted guy. I don't know if he's a rookie or not, Rigoberto Sanchez.
I believe he is.
And it doesn't bode well, doesn't loom well.
It's interesting. He is listed as a rookie.
Well, it's interesting because
he's been kicking the heck out of the ball. He does have dual responsibility experience. He did this at Hawaii. He was a punter and a kicker, so you had to take over the kickover duties somehow, or kickoff duties, because Vinatieri was not going to be doing that, and somebody's got to hold. I mean, that could be just about anybody, but they do like it to be the punter.
Well, Jeff Locke was holding, and I don't know if he was the one that didn't turn the laces the right way, where Vinatieri missed the last point after touchdown. Yeah. I don't know if there was a high snap or two. I don't know if that's from the old new long snapper. I don't know what's going on there. So the Colts, they do have issues. They have issues just about at every position moving forward, except Frank Gore. I think right now that's about it. T.Y. Hilton did not play, which is good because there's
don't
no point in doing that. But if you can get a healthy Dorsett, if you can get a healthy Moncrief, if you can get T.Y. to be T.Y., it's not going to matter if you can't protect Tolzien or Morris.
Right.
And it looks like it's going to be Tolzien. He took all the snaps with the first team. Morris came in the second quarter for that. And if the line can't protect him, but Tolzien looked 1,000 times better. He looked like they had a plan on offense.
He protect the guy. I mean, he's going to.
He was pretty chill in the pocket. He didn't make any rash decisions. So it looked better from that standpoint. But moving forward, the Colts defense is going to have to stop somebody. This was a nice preview of what possibly it could be. They have a lot of the same guys. They don't have a lot of difference makers, but they have a lot of that standard stock linebacker that can make pretty good plays, usually isn't terribly out of position.
Yeah.
But what you see is with the blitz doesn't come, there's not a whole lot of pass rush.
Yep.
It's hard to cover guys, and they played a lot of zone, and there's Antonio Brown peeking in. There's the tight end peeking in. You got to know where everybody's at. But when you have new safeties and new cornerbacks and guys coming back from a week, I don't think you can just put that all on one crew. I don't think you can put that all on one, whether it's the D-line or the linebackers or the defensive backs. I don't think you can do that. Number one, Pittsburgh runs pretty good stuff. They score a ton of points every year. It's not that's not huge at all. So T.J. Green played. He's playing corner. He's in the fight sometimes. He's still just – you look at him sometimes and you think, well, that's better, but – it's always but. When you watch it, it's like, well, that was pretty good, but – You're almost there.
You know what he has? He is in position a lot of times at the cornerback. You do not generally see him getting wildly beaten out there. It's a matter of ball skills now.
Yeah, it's turning your head, making a play.
Yeah, it's some little things.
Don't hit a guy, tackle a guy. There's a difference.
But see, the athleticism serves him well out there because, you know, he's got the hips. They call them fluid hips and all that sort of thing.
Right.
He can move himself around and be in the right spot.
I just want to dance.
Well, exactly. And he can dance out there with a couple wide receivers. But there are questions on this defense. No, I mean, that's the thing that stands out, I think, through three games is you see I think you said it right. You don't see a lot of difference makers. You don't see a lot of guys that wow you. The best play that I saw, and I didn't see the whole game. I saw a short time. Just kind of little thing to me, but it was T.J. Green. It was T.J. Green 8 yards off the ball. And the minute he sees that the run is coming his way, he is flying up, sticking his head around a blocker and into the chest of a running back. Now, he got knocked on his butt doing it, but he brought the running back down too.
Thankfully,
why is that
injured.
Important? That's the exact same thing Vontae Davis does. Vontae Davis is not a soft cornerback. And in Chuck Pagano's defense, he doesn't want soft corners. He doesn't want guys that aren't going to be willing to tackle. He's got to have those guys tackling out there. And so if T.J. Green is going to stick his head in, that's different than a lot of corners are going to do. So is he great yet? No, not even close. But that's the thing. Defense right now, it's a get-by kind of thing. Try to be stout without a bunch of guys that are going to wow you.
And the other problem with the defense is it's great if you're making takeaways, turnovers. I don't know what the Colts call
it's
them.
Still going to have to rely
anybody
on that
has to do any
bit,
push-ups. Yeah. But here's the thing. If you're getting gashed for 10 yards of play, for like the first six plays I think they had were all 9 yards or more, you have to make a turnover. That's the only way you're going to stop anybody.
Yeah.
That's a very dangerous line to walk in the NFL. If you're Ben, and then hopefully make a red zone turnover. I don't think many defensive coaches have retired on that being their philosophy. So they're going to have to find some guys to play. Yes, you'd love Hankins to be healthy. Yes, you'd love all of them to be healthy, but that's not life in the NFL sometimes. So you've got to find guys to make some plays. The Colts will take on the Bengals coming up Thursday night right here on WGCL. It's the final game of the preseason schedule. And then it's off to Los Angeles to take on the Rams. When you look ahead to that first game, Dave, we know the Rams don't throw it very well, but we do know they have Todd Gurley. And all you fantasy football fans out there, only reason you know Todd Gurley is because he gets a ton of yards.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right. He doesn't play on a winning team.
Yeah.
He might not be in the Pro Bowl.
Well, he only can score a lot of touchdowns.
But he gets a lot of yards, and that's the bend don't break. But now the Colts are going to rely on a rookie punter. That's what that is. And my Minnesota Vikings friends on Twitter said this isn't surprising because anytime you needed a big punt from Locke,
you didn't get it.
You didn't get it.
Yeah, well, there
and
you go.
That's part of it. So maybe they knew that going in, but it doesn't work out. You don't like to find that out, 14 days before the season starts? that's a little tight for a rookie. This is not two veterans that were battling out.
Yeah, right.
This is a brand-new guy with a brand-new long snapper.
It's a promising leg, and it's a diverse guy, a guy who can kick field goals. He kicked a 55-yarder.
I know.
He can kick off.
Kick the ball out of
holding,
zone,
obviously,
please.
Is going to be a key to all this because he has to do this.
Or Philip Morris can do that, as
yeah,
I like to call
for
him.
One of the best of all times. They have until Sunday at noon to begin cutting players, and there's only one cut this year, so they have to go from 90 to 53. There is no median cut in there.
And then it's the NFL garage sale after that. Then everybody says, "Oh, I worked with this guy 2 years ago. He's not as bad as this. We'll try him out." We'll
starting at 1 o'clock, they can build their practice squads on Sunday, and then
feeding
after
frenzy.
That, I think probably the next day is when they can start signing guys who have been.
What
waived.
Date is that again?
That is this coming Sunday.
Okay,
so
all the guys they bring in 27, 28, or there's a third. So the preseason will be done. These will be guys that you will have in essentially the week before week one to see if they can fill any need you possibly can have. Well, don't expect to find anything when you pan for gold here because people usually don't release guys for it or they have big contracts.
And
other
there's a little
that
good
go
news in that.
That
right there, and that is that the Colts do have wiggle room with their salary cap. So
they don't
want to tie themselves into something awful, but they can
they just ate $1.2 million getting rid of that punter. So that's how it works sometimes. But if you feel
that
he's not the guy moving forward.
That one's a little embarrassing, but,
that's the first one.
I'd rather go with the young kid who's been good and is promising and has got a live leg.
Here's what I know.
Than stick with somebody who you've seen 5 years worth.
Here's what I know. If the Colts can't move the football, The Colts are going to punt a lot.
They're going to punt a lot, yep.
And if the Colts are going to punt a lot with a rookie punter and a brand new guy that's never long snapped in his life till a month ago,
yeah.
That makes my heart a flutter, and not in a good way. That
well,
makes
I,
me
I
nervous
think Rhodes
a
has been
bit.
Doing it a while, hasn't he?
I thought I read that he was just converted to this in the last month or so. He was a linebacker and tried him out of this and seemed to be okay at it. I don't know if the NFL...
He better be better than okay if
I don't
you're going
to
keep
NFL's
a guy specifically
a place
for that.
To be okay. Well, yeah, because I mean, he is on special teams. He's, mm-hmm. He well, sure. No one can hit him. He gets to go first down the field usually.
Right.
But in the NFL, that's... How many times do you sit here and say on a Monday, you had three turnovers that killed you, you missed two easy field goals that killed you, and whatever else it is.
Right.
And if it's you can't field a punt, if you fumble a snap, all those things are bad. Mm-hmm. And you think punting is so easy because you're so used to seeing Pat McAfee just catch it, kick it, and go.
Sure.
Okay, you're going to punt a lot.
Yeah.
Okay? You're going to punt a lot. And somebody's making the decision to go with a guy who's faced NFL rushes in the big division with Green Bay, Chicago, and Detroit. He's seen it. Who's been outside before the new stadium was built.
Yeah,
who's
right.
handled things like that.
I mean, this guy comes from Hawaii. He doesn't come from Alaska.
He doesn't come from a land down under. I get all that.
I'm less concerned about the punter than the snapper. You're right about the snapper.
Both the combination
and the holding part of it. Because let's remember, the most important part of this might very well be Adam Vinatieri.
Stephen
and making
Morris
sure he's comfortable.
I would hope through all of that and figure
somebody
it out.
Somebody who can do it.
Somebody who can do it. But when you're the Colts and you have all these questions, now you've just added two more that maybe you're going to use more than some of those other questions. I guess everybody on the 53-man roster is important. If you don't think so, that's why these guys aren't there anymore. They weren't up to the standard in preseason. Why let them fail when the game's on the line? I get all that. It's just it's awfully late for all of this, isn't
it? Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. And same with the offensive line. And the same with the defensive backfield. I mean, there's a number of questions with this team right now that don't make you feel very good.
They have two free agents they picked up in the last 3 weeks starting at center and at right guard or right tackle.
Yeah, and they just brought in two safeties today. That's how bad they needed safeties. Got to take a quick break. 812-333-2665 is a phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. You're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 812-333-2665 is our phone number. We'll pick up our Reds broadcasts again tomorrow night, 7 o'clock with the Mets in town. And then on Thursday, we start our Colts broadcasts, midweek broadcasts. We got Cincinnati coming to town. 6 o'clock is the pregame for the final preseason game of the
year. That's the traditional end of the preseason matchup.
And again, Sunday is cut down day for the Colts and for all the NFL. We will pick back up with high school football on Friday night. We're going out to Edgewood, John Callahan and I, as Cloverdale comes to town. Both teams looking for their first win. We'll have Chalk Talk at 6:30 and kickoff at 7 o'clock for that. And then, of course, so it will be Labor Day weekend. We will take Monday off, but we'll be back Wednesday to talk about all of that and especially that IU football game against Ohio State. Kind of a big one to start off with. I don't remember a bigger opener for the Hoosiers in my memory.
I don't think it's close.
It doesn't get any bigger
you
than
can
this.
Name the...
And the great part, again, ESPN has recognized that. You look at the schedule for Thursday night, there isn't a game that comes anywhere near what the IU Ohio State does nationally. So they made that pick. They're going to be here. It's going to be the whole circus. It's going to be a lot of fun around Bloomington. So looking forward to that. We do have our two deeps and that sort of thing have finally come out to start the season. So you can pair through that and argue about it a little bit and see who's playing what and all that sort of thing.
Got to put somebody on paper, don't you?
Obviously, Bryant Fitzgerald, kind of the disappointment here that he is not able to play. They do list Brandon Knight, though, at backup right tackle. And we hadn't heard if Brandon was going to even be available some of this season or at the early part of the season, at least with a foot injury. But he's listed right there as an or at right tackle, which is interesting to me. I don't know if he's going to play or not. I have no idea. Certainly talent-wise, he would. But the injury is a big question there. And just like with the Colts, you would like this offensive line to get solved. I mean, 2 years ago, it was one of the best in the nation and certainly in the Big Ten. Then you start graduating players and you had some injuries last year and all that sort of thing. And now it's a very young offensive line. Got a lot of guys with some talent, but how it puts together, how they gel, how they work together, all that sort of thing is important.
And a lot of these guys have played due to said injuries from last year, especially with Dan Feeney and Dimitri Camille. You had to throw guys in this lineup to figure out how they could play and where they would fit. And obviously, Brandon Knight was one of them.
Yeah.
And now he's on the shelf, at least perhaps for now, the depth chart says. So that means, I would suppose, just from the depth chart in a vacuum, meaning there is a chance he could possibly play.
Yeah.
I don't. We'll just, like everybody else, if he warms up before the game and is doing drills with the line, if he's not in shoulder pads, well, that's a dead giveaway.
Yeah.
on all of that. So you just want Indiana to be healthy, because Dave, any time we talk about anything, we just did 30 minutes on the Colts essentially, and half the discussion, if not 75% of it, was missing pieces that weren't there, things that are going on, guys that can't get healthy or guys that aren't in the field. The good news for Indiana's defense is that's not the problem.
Right.
I don't want to shift gears, but I am shifting gears because the lack of injury is fantastic on that side of the ball. I can't think of one player off the top of my head that you've said, geez, it'd be nice if he could just get through camp and get to this position. You've had some guys knocked up and banged up. That always happens when you play tackle football. But with the nine guys coming back on defense, with the secondary the way it is, with the linebacking core, you hope to get some depth up front as well. There's some serious possibility there if they stay healthy, if everybody stays healthy, that Indiana could be a pretty good football team. The two things Indiana has to do simply this season, and it's not difficult at all, they have to limit turnovers from the quarterback position.
Yep.
That's not a secret. Mike DeBoard has talked about it. Tom Allen has talked about it. And the defense simply cannot regress. They can't go backwards.
Right.
Tom Allen was telling a great story last Friday when he met the media. He said it's really easy to go from 120 to where we were.
Yeah.
It's really
hard. There's nowhere else to go but up.
Well, but going from 120 to 90,
sure.
120 to 8. No, 120, that's a great leap.
Mm-hmm.
But he said the hardest leap is going from 50 to 25.
Sure.
He goes, to make that next leap, he thought that's going to be the key. If they can make that leap,
mm-hmm.
They can break through. That's the key word, the hashtag this year.
Yep.
But the other issue is they can't go backwards. They can't with the talent they have. They can't with the skill they have. They can't with the experience they have, because that, to me, that doesn't make sense. I can't see that happening. The only thing I can see is they play in the East Division of the Big Ten,
right.
And it's not an easy place to be.
No, it's not.
An excuse. It's a fact, and there's a difference here. Michigan State, Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State, right? You get them four times.
Yeah.
And you play four games against them. So statistically, I'm not worried about the defense per se, but this defense has to continue to get takeaways. This defense has to continue to keep their offense, if it struggles in games like that. They played without pressure, the defense, last year because it was new. It was exciting. It was fun. New coordinator got everybody fired up. New coordinator is now the head coach. Now they're an expected rate of return. Now everybody mm-hmm. knows about this defense.
Right.
Everybody knows about T. Gray Scales and Jonathan Crawford and mm-hmm. Rashard Fant. They know about what this defense is capable of. They're going to see different game plans than they did last year.
Well, what people didn't have from the opposition is they did not have film knowing exactly what Tom Allen was going to do as an Indiana coach. I mean, they had it from other spots, but what was he going to do with this team? And what he did was, it was a lot of different blitzes. It was a lot of the defensive line and the defensive tackles taking up blockers so his linebackers could free and be free and run around. And that's not the particular unusual, but you were never quite sure what he was going to do in what situations. And so now you've got the full 13 games worth of film that you can use on there. Certainly you're bringing back most of that defense. You do have the losses the last 2 years of big defensive tackles, but you filled those in pretty well the last couple of years. That's still a spot that I look at and wonder about. But in the back end of that defense, you've got all of the athletes coming back. And, Marcus Oliver is the one player that you're not going to see back there. And he was a little nicked up last year anyways. So
didn't play the bowl game.
Yeah, I mean, that was this is a very intriguing defense athletically to me.
But what Marcus Oliver brought was he's the second guy in Indiana, the second best guy in Indiana history knocking the ball out.
And that's a big – that is a big key, because you can give up 150 yards rushing in a half if you knock it out twice. Exactly right.
I mean, Colts.
It sounds so simple, but it's absolutely true. Now, just like what you were talking about with the Colts, you don't want your defense to be geared around giving up tons of and tons of yardage and just getting the ball out of their hands and inside the 20-yard line. But you know what? Takeaways is very much a strategy.
They are.
And it gets you off the field just as easily as a three and out.
And the problem with – and this is why I think Tom Allen's done a great job of handling is he doesn't care what happened last year. You can't. Why would you worry about that? Mm-hmm. You can't focus on that. That doesn't transfer to the next season. What do you have to do? You have to go out and make plays this year. You have to know your responsibilities. You have to know your keys. You have to know your defense. You have to know your sub patterns this year. So he's keeping them in the now, which I think is that's the best way to do this. Mm-hmm. They're not tooting their horn saying, hey, look at all of our preseason accolades. This is great. They got to play Ohio State.
Yeah.
And I think for Indiana, that's the best thing that could happen in game one of a new coach's tenure. Because sometimes when you get an Eastern Kentucky, sometimes when you get Southern Illinois,
you
whoever
think it's
it is,
be easy.
Well, your players do.
Yeah, exactly.
The coach doesn't.
No, the coach
I know
never
that.
Does.
The players, and we know, come on, dude. They're 392.
I say it all the time. Yep. The players are the ones that have to have the attitude to go out there. The coaches take everybody seriously.
But this camp with Ohio State is the first game. You don't have to worry about their focus. You don't have to worry about getting them zoned in on this opponent this week.
Yeah.
Number two, ESPN.
You have to worry about them too hyped, but that's about it.
That's fine.
Pretty exciting.
And most of them have said once the ball snaps, they forget about all that anyhow, which is pretty much true because once the pads pop, you're not worried about anything else that's going along with it. But that focus, it's not going to win you the game. It's not going to lose you the game. But what it does is – it should have been a heightened last 2 weeks. It should have been not in a competition sense. That should always be there. Mm-hmm. But the focus, the responsibility, the being locked in on what your role, what your assignment is, whatever it could be, because you know Ohio State's going to take advantage of it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Eastern Kentucky wouldn't. Maybe I'm just a little bit faster in their tailback. I'll get to them.
Right.
I'm going to cheat a little here, make a big play. I'm going to get on TV and get a highlight.
Class sprinters on the other side of the ball
exactly
with Ohio State coming to town.
But that's the point. The point is they have to be locked in. They have to be focused. And I think you will see, because of that, you will see what Indiana's defense is made of almost immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not going to take them a quarter to get into the game and find their feet.
No, they got
to
be there immediately.
And they do. And having that requirement, I think, will help. Turn the switch on. Mm-hmm. I think it'll get the building hot. I think it'll get the sideline fired up if they just do what they did most of last season.
Mm-hmm.
Their job, make sure that everybody's in the game, run into the football, and not watching the crowd, and not watching and daydreaming about making big plays. Go out there and do it. It's a little bit easier than it is to dream about doing.
For
sure.
We'll talk about a few keys after this quick break. So we'll be back in just a couple minutes. Again, 812-333-2665 is our phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone. Get you back in the Zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 812-333-2665 is our phone number. Reminder, we pick Reds baseball back up tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, playing the Mets. Thursday night, we've got the final of the four preseason games for the Colts. Kickoff is 7 o'clock and pregame here on WGCL is 6 o'clock on Thursday night. And then Friday night, we've got high school football returning as Cloverdale comes to town to face the Edgewood Mustangs. We'll be over there for kickoff at 7 o'clock and Chalk Talk starting at 6:30 this Friday night. Monday, of course, is Labor Day, so it'll be a long weekend for everybody. So we will be back with you next Wednesday night. We'll also be with you this coming Wednesday night where we'll preview the IU-Ohio State game in more detail. But looking tonight at IU in particular, they've released their two deep for the Ohio State game. And, of course, all the excitement is coming along here as game day will be here and all of that. Talking about the keys to the IU season, I think you nailed the one thing on one side of the ball, and that is the defense can't go backwards, at least not very far. And it's got most of the guys back, so you wouldn't think that this group is going to regress. They still have lots of athletes in the back end of this defense. They still have Tigray Scales, who's one of the best players in the Big Ten coming into the season and was last year.
And they've got a crop of freshmen that they think can make a difference as well. If you look at the two deep that's out there, there's some names on there that you say, oh, geez, okay, time to go.
The one thing this defense missed from my standpoint last year is generating a pass rush without having to blitz much. It did not do a great job with that. Now, they obviously played great without it. Can they continue to do that? Because a team like an Ohio State can take advantage of you if you think you're going to play man coverage all day long on their athletes all over the field. You saw the safety, Marcelino Ball. He got beat on a couple plays here and there. But
he's going to be better.
Yeah, so little across the stretch of the season for a freshman that you're impressed by the whole thing. But can they take advantage of you having to be aggressive at those? You love throwing those blitzes out there. I love aggressive defenses that do it, but you will get burned from time to time. So the more you can generate with your front four, the better off you'll be in the long run. That's a big question mark for this defense.
It is, and Ball's going to be smarter. He's going to understand schemes even more than he did as a true freshman where he played almost every single down. That's a positive thing. The athletic nature of him and being at that position, which gives him a little bit of freedom to go make plays, I think will help tremendously. Maybe he takes that Marcus Oliver role, getting to the ball, knocking the ball out. Somebody's going to have to, because you can't not go into a season and have I don't want to say a key guy like that, because you can't, hey, go strip the ball. That doesn't work that way in
right.
football. It doesn't happen that way, but it's technique, it's coaching, it's all of that that goes into it. And you hope Indiana's defense finds guys that can make plays. On paper, Dave, it looks like it can. Ohio State in week one is going to make sure your paper is a little bit stronger than Mache, because they're going to make you come out and play. But the offensive side of the ball, I think, has obviously more of the questions, and there's no doubt about it. The one thing on the offensive side, similar to the defense as a whole, I will guarantee Richard Lego will be better this year.
He should be.
The game will have slowed down. Mm-hmm. An off season with a new quarterback's coach and a new offensive coordinator that have essentially stripped down the plays, the looks, the feels he didn't care for last year, and are running things that are going to be, again, things in his wheelhouse. And Mike DeBoard had a great comment on Friday. He said, we're asking you to play quarterback. We're not asking you to be a hero. Mm-hmm. Run the play we're called,
right.
And if it doesn't work, that's on me. It's not on you.
Mm-hmm.
Make good decisions. Run the play that's called. Tell us why you don't like it. We'll get into something else down the road. But that's the good news. Last year, it was argued that there were too many play calls. There were too many weird timeouts. There were too many delays of game. There was too many of everything, as it seemed like there was multiple voices in the helmet of what was trying to get called there.
Right.
Not good your first year. Not good your first year in the Big Ten. Mm-hmm. Not good in your first year in the Big Ten on the road against Ohio State. I can go through this. That's not going to happen this year.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my rationale on why Lego is going to be better. You can argue he'll have just as many targets, if not more. But maybe the one thing that does throw the question mark up, how's the line going to be, and which running backs are going to make a difference in that offense?
Well, I always point at the offensive line as a starting point on that side of the ball, and it was unsettled last year. And I'm not sure it's more settled now, but you still have most of the bodies you expected to have at this point. And remember, last year you were losing two guys to graduation, and you had two guys that went out with injury very early in the season. And that's the problem there, is you were already trying to replace a couple guys with younger guys, and then you lost your leader and another veteran player off that same offensive line early in the season for the rest of the season. And that just throws the whole thing in flux. And what it does is it obviously makes that unit more difficult. It makes them injured a bit. And then you throw Richard Lego and the running game needing to have that group be solid to get much generated. The whole thing was a bit discombobulated. Now, Richard Lego, it didn't help that he didn't have a lot of experience. I mean, he wasn't Nate Sudfeld. He didn't have 4 years of playing or whatever it was. He hadn't played at this level. So he was seeing things for the first time, and 17 interceptions show you the result of that, 19 touchdowns. He's got to be much better this year. And you're exactly right. He should be. Just seeing that experience, getting that experience, there were times last year where he threw some balls where you go, what are you doing? But there were times last year where you go, man, that kid's got an arm, and he can put it on the money. So the skills are there. It was about experience. It was about knowing what you are seeing. What we don't know as the fan is just how hard the kid works in off the field at film work and all that sort of thing, because that is really, really important for a quarterback in particular, for a lot of guys, but a quarterback in particular. So I would expect him to know how the whole thing works lot better and feel a lot more comfortable this year.
What does every coach, what does every fan, what does every offensive coordinator want? They want to fifth-year senior quarterback who has some experience, and Lego dots those I's and crosses those T's. He should be better. He should know how the game progresses now. He knows what the value of the football means. You can talk about turnovers till you're blue in the face. Until you throw five interceptions in a game, it's really hard to tell a guy what that feels like.
Mm-hmm.
But learning from that scar tissue has to be developed somewhere in his brain that says, man, I tried that last. I'm not going to do it. I'm throwing it away. Yep. I'm going to give my team another chance, or I'm going to give my defense a better field when we punt than throwing the ball away here. There are ways to rationalize these decisions. And sometimes you say, man, I hate this play, and I'm just going to stick it in there because that's where coach told me to throw it, and there's another interception. So I don't know. You're right. I don't know how this is working. But Mike DeBoard's philosophy, from what we've heard throughout his interviews in camp, has been, let's keep this thing rolling along. Let's find some rhythm. We've got different running backs that can do different things. You've got some guys that can get scattered. You can guys that can catch the ball out of the backfield. You've got guys that can run between the tackles. Richard Leggo's job is going to be much easier if what? Indiana can run the football.
Absolutely.
He had a 1,000-yard back last year. Mm-hmm. Let's not forget that. Mm-hmm. He threw for almost 3,700 yards last year. Let's not forget that either. He didn't have a bad year.
No, and it
needs to be a cleaner year.
It wasn't as productive of a running game, though, as it had been, because they've been putting up some video game type numbers for a couple years there, but it went through some different bodies. That's part of your question mark too, is it with the running back position, you got a number of bodies that are exciting to think about what they can do, but none of them stand out as Tevin Coleman. So how are they going to use those guys? Are they going to have to shuffle them in and out? Are you going to find somebody that gets in a rhythm and you stick with them for a while? You're going to see a lot of bodies at that spot, so there's a question mark there
too. And Leggo should be more confident in the simple fact that he's going to have 2,000 yard receivers essentially at his disposal.
There's a lot of weapons out wide. 6'4 Hale,
6'4 Cobbs. Those are big targets. Big targets give quarterbacks bigger
Ian
windows
Thomas
to
is
throw.
6'5. I mean, there's a lot to like at the wide receiver and tight end positions going into this year. A lot of things that he can use that'll make him more comfortable. That's the one spot where you think, wow, we really have top line depth and talent at that spot here on the offense.
And last year he was sometimes forced to throw to 5'7" Mitchell Page on 4th and 6.
Yeah.
And that's a difference. And that's not a knock on Mitchell Page. He's playing for the Chargers.
Right.
Mitchell Page isn't a bad player.
Not at all.
My point is the window of opportunity with 6'5" and a window of opportunity with 5'7" is different.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do they still have 5'7"? Yeah, they've got Jayshon Harris.
Mm-hmm.
Great water bug. They've got out of the backfield, Cole Guest isn't a huge fella.
Yep. Timian's only 6 foot.
Devontae Williams isn't a huge, tall player. Timian's about 6 foot, but good hands and going to traffic. So he has these levels and layers of guys that can make plays for him. Now, instead of killing a guy from 5 yards away with the bullet pass that knocks him over, have we learned into our fifth-year senior to put the ball in the spot where we can catch it and run instead of behind him and get hit?
Right.
Those are the developments, if those are made from Leggo, is going to help this team move forward. If the receivers are making plays for the quarterback, that's great. But if the receivers are catching the ball in the proper areas and things are going on, whether it's in stride, whether it's back shoulder front, whatever it is, the more accurate it is, Dave, I think Indiana has a better chance to get more first downs. And then the key to the Indiana offense that everybody knows is when you get in the red zone, field goals are great, don't get me wrong, but if Indiana can start chalking some of those up to touchdowns with a fifth-year senior quarterback, boy, won't that give the defense some more breathing room, some time to say, hey, look, we gave up a touchdown, but you got us 2 field goals. We're losing by 1.
Yeah.
So there's that trade-off there that helps with momentum. There's that trade-off there of the years of decision-making down there. Now what have we learned? Let's execute it and see if Indiana can win some football games.
Well, on the other side, you mentioned the kicking game. You're going to have a better kicking game. It was not the best of years for Griffin Oaks. There were some issues, they said, with holding also. You're going to have to be better at that spot. You'd like to score more touchdowns, no question about that. But you're going to have to kick a few field goals.
But you can't miss the 28-yarders and the 32-yarders.
You
got to
hit the sure things.
Level.
I mean, if you miss a 54-yarder, that's fine.
Absolutely right.
You might not even try that many of those. But, you got a 35-yarder, you're expected to make those. And as you said, I mean, let's stick a few more of them in the end zone. I think the offense will be better. It's got way too much talent. It's the question up front mostly. It's a question of who's going to get most of the carries, if that even matters. If they're all good and producing, then great. But how good can they be? How physical are they? Are they a dominant group, a strength for the team in the Big Ten is your question up front on offense. And defense, they should at least be about the same.
Should.
They bring just about everybody back, most of your back seven, which you just really like when you look up and down that depth of that group. So it's an exciting week, and it's a Thursday night. I know it's a big opponent, but all the lights are on here in Bloomington.
Why else would
everybody's watching?
Where else would you want to be?
It's an exciting night
you
coming
be
up.
Buffalo and Minnesota at 7 o'clock that night?
No, absolutely not. We'll talk a lot more about Ohio State coming to town Thursday night when we are back with you on Wednesday night. Reds baseball tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. We will be back Wednesday, 6 o'clock. So join us then, won't you, folks? You've been in the zone.